Hi, I'm Marianne McPartland. My guest today of Piano Jazz is pianist, arranger, composer John Harmon. His music ranges from tender ballads to orchestral works and choral pieces, often inspired by nature or Native American ideas, and I love all of them, John.
Well, I'm flattered and honored. Thank you.
Well, you do have some wonderful music, and I feel like a dummy by not knowing it was all out there for me to listen to.
Well, it's not your fault at all. I'll blame the publicist on that.
Yeah, as long as we don't blame ourselves.
That's right.
When we met, which was a few years ago in Birch Creek, and I think at that time you gave me this album called Rite of Passage, mm-hmm. of tunes that you wrote, and I was always fascinated by the first tune, and I couldn't understand why such a romantic tune had such a kind of prosaic name, like No Slate. I thought, why does he call this No Slate? Why did you?
Well, when I originally recorded it on a solo piano venture 30 years ago maybe, I didn't have an appropriate title. And so the engineer, they slate the pieces and they call them by name and then take one and so forth and so on. But this one had no title, so rather than say untitled, he just said, there's no slate on this piece. So each time when we would check it out, he would take three, no slate. So it just kind of stuck, I guess.
That's so funny because yeah. I just kept wondering about that. Now I know, but all this is this is a sort of prelude to asking you if you'd play that tune for me. It's so
well,
very pretty.
I'd appreciate that. I do appreciate that, and I will be happy to play it for you.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
I just love that piece. We've got to find another title for that.
Okay, well, I'll work on that, I promise. it doesn't really say what the piece is about, I guess, so you're right. Titles are important to me, I mean.
They are. That whole record knocks me out. Rite of Passage, that was evidently an idea to have pictures of you at various stages and then music sort of to go with it, wasn't it?
Kind of that worked out that way, right. It's sort of...
So interesting, the little baby and then the little boy on his tricycle. And then you're the teenager playing piano.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're in military school.
Right. That's a dark period in my life. No.
Did you write any dark tunes to go with that?
No, I did not, but I could have.
I bet you could. Well, when did you start? I mean, are you from Wisconsin?
I am. I was born in a small town called Oshkosh.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Nice town.
Yeah, they used to be famous for their overalls and their trunk and luggage. The Oshkosh overalls and so forth.
Really?
Yeah. So you can tell I'm really sort of a farm boy, even though I wasn't brought up on a farm. But I'm from...
Well, some of your music almost has that in it, the little touches here mm-hmm. and there, like rustic dance. That was so evocative of... I could really imagine people mm-hmm. gambling around to that. But... did you start out playing as a kid? What happened?
Well, it was primarily my mother's influence. She played by ear. Her mother had been a music teacher, so she had a little background. She didn't read very well, but she could read.
Sounds like me. Couldn't read.
Well, I couldn't see, so you know I had problems reading too. But she and I would sit at the piano, and she kind of taught me chords and things as a little youngster. And we'd work out tunes at the piano, and it kind of helped develop some sort of harmonic sense, because I could sort of, if I was familiar with the tune that we were trying to learn, I could kind of probe around, and between the two of us, we'd come up with harmonizations of, you know, old tunes that she was playing and that I would learn. But probably the biggest influence was my father, who was not a musician, had all these wonderful early recordings of pianists, starting with Boogie Woogie people. He was fascinated by that. And so at a very tender age, I was banging out these eight to the bar things, they used to call them.
And, Mead Lux Lewis?
Mm-hmm. Mead Lux Lewis, Albert Ammons, Pete Johnson, and Pine Top Smith, and Mary Lou Williams and stuff. And so I was getting acquainted without knowing it with, the blues form, for one thing. Secondly, he loved piano, so he had Duke Ellington, and he had Count Basie, and he had my hero, Teddy Wilson.
And my hero, too.
Yeah, he's been pretty influential on a lot of pianists.
Oh, we could talk about all these great people, but it got you playing, which was a mm-hmm. great thing.
Well,
and... Please play some more. How about another tune? I would love to hear one.
Sure, I'd be delighted. That's why I'm here, I guess. And
another of yours, maybe?
Well, if you'd like, I'd be happy to.
Well, didn't you, I think you might have written this for the trumpet player, Bobby Shue.
Ah, the Taos Pueblo?
Yeah, is on your record.
Yes, mm-hmm. I will give that a try.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's such a lovely tune. I really, Bobby Shue must have really loved that.
Well, I think he was touched by it. I mean, we've become pretty good friends, and it all kind of was the result of, for 3 days, we went around from pueblo to pueblo in New Mexico.
Oh, you did?
He has quite an interest in Native American culture as well, being part Cherokee himself. So he took me around because of my abiding interest in Native American stuff. And so we went around, and it was very moving, the entire little junket. And we...
Why? What was moving about it?
Well, it was the presence of the people. I mean, here were what seemed to be outsiders looking in on a culture that had been pretty much in many ways decimated by the advances of our civilization here.
Boy, and how.
And how. And, you know, that's kind of a polite way of putting it. But we went around to various pueblos and met some of the people, and they were guarded, of course. And but we went to one place called, it was a bunch of caves. They were kind of like cliff dwellers. And I actually was able to sit in the shaman's cave, and it was a very powerful experience. I mean, the vibe in there was something like I had never experienced before.
I would imagine. Well, did you write certain pieces as a result of that experience?
Well, right, because this little tour, if you could call it that, ended up at Taos, at the pueblo there, and those people were wonderful, and we just felt like emptying our pockets and just, you know, giving them whatever we had, because they're living in not the greatest conditions, and I was very moved by all that.
That really boggles my mind. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got more coming up with John Harmon. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Well, John, don't you think it's time we should do a duet? I would love to do one. What
do
you think?
I would be honored beyond words.
Well, please, don't say things like that. I'll probably play a wrong note. Or
you don't have it in your...
Bad chords. I mean, bad chords. So, like, you picked a very nice tune, like Someone in Love. That's one of my favorites.
Okay.
So, shall we do that?
Sure. Thank you.
That worked out pretty well, John, didn't it?
Well, it was great fun for me. I had a lovely time.
Well, how much do piano playing do you get to do? Do you play with
people? Not very often, to tell you the truth. My wife plays pretty well, and we have done four-handed stuff already. But as far as two full pianos, I have not done that much of that. But it's fun. It's a great challenge. You have to know when to get out of the way and when to
support. That's the big thing, I think.
But it's fun. It's a great...
Absolutely. So,
especially with someone like you.
Well, just a middle-of-the-road piano player, speaking of which... I could maybe run one off for you that I wrote for Mary Lou Williams.
I would love to hear it.
It's called Threnody, which is a silly word, meaning very sad, something like that. Mm-hmm. So here goes.
That was absolutely quite a journey you took me on there, Marian. That was absolutely gorgeous. I mean, and it's almost like Mary Lou Williams' life. I mean, she started out as a kind of a boogie-woogie pianist very early on and progressed through all the history of jazz in a way. I mean,
she did. She was somebody I really admired because she always seemed to be a little ahead of what was going on.
Right, right. And it's like, and you captured so many areas of her. I mean, there was more conventional stuff, and then there were these very contemporary chords and beautiful contemporary lines with polychords and so forth that I thought was wonderful.
Well,
appreciate your composing that. That's beautiful.
Well, I'm glad you liked that, John.
Oh, you surely did.
If you're just tuning in, my guest today is John Harmon. For more information about piano jazz and a list of the tunes played on today's show, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. Our program is made possible in part by the Baldwin Piano Company. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Well, tell me about your latest commission. Who is the person or people you're doing the commission for now?
Well, I just finished a commission for a gentleman who, it's kind of a tall tale here, or sort of a long story, but I'll make it as brief as possible. A gentleman who had been a biochemist research guy in Europe came to our neck of the woods up in Winneconne, Wisconsin, and he started teaching at the local university in Oshkosh. And ultimately, he unfortunately suffered a brain tumor. And he was in my choir that I direct at the Presbyterian Church there in Winneconne. And he got this vision when he got ill. He's very, very heavy thinker, and he envisioned this piece in which we would restore the waters of our environment through ancient myth and so forth. And so he envisioned a goddess of water and of the earth and so forth, and that by purifying the waters, we would also spiritually cleanse humanity from the industrial waste that we've created.
I like the idea.
It's pretty heavy, but, and it's also to restore women into the mix of running the show a little bit, because men have certainly botched it up pretty dramatically.
That's fantastic. So you've written this thing for him.
For him, and he's literally dying. And so it was a powerful moment for all of us who were involved.
Where's it going to get played, Carnegie Hall?
Well, it's already been premiered, but we hope to get more performances for certain.
But it sounds wonderful. What's it called?
Wisdom of the Waters. It's for full chorus and soprano solo and four instrumentalists.
Well, anyway, we have to come back down to earth and play some music by Ray Noble.
Well, that would be...
That would be pretty nice.
That would be pretty nice as far as I'm concerned, because he's definitely one of my favorite.
Mine too.
Guys.
What have we got here? A touch of your lips?
Let's try it.
Okay. Yes, that was nice.
Okay, yeah.
Again, back to your record that I love so much, Rite of Passage. You've got a bunch of interesting tunes in there, but one of them really stuck out to me, Billy Sunday.
Well,
what was that?
I was kind of experimenting with that middle pedal, which I don't even know what it's called on the piano. It's got this.
I don't know either.
It's got this capability of sustaining one or several notes that you kind of prearrange, and the rest of it is the rest of the keyboard is dampened. So it has this kind of bizarre capability, and I was just fooling around with it, and it the title actually emerged after the improvisation, because it's not really written out. It's just an improvised thing, and it reminded me of this early evangelist whose name was Billy Sunday. And he preached fire and brimstone, you know, and he pounded away with this sermonizing kind of thing. So this note G emerges that's being sustained throughout. So every time you hit it sustains while the rest of the notes are not. So
I was wondering how you did that, because I'm very ignorant using that pedal myself. So you found how to use it. Good.
Well, it kind of works. It sure is an interesting device.
Well, now I want to hear Billy Sunday, because
okay.
He really lay heavy on the middle pedal for that one.
Yeah, it's the sermon. You keep hearing this almost irritatingly.
It's a good sermon, and I need one all the time. This is perfect for me.
Well, I'm much in need of some guidance myself, so.
Well, I think I became duly subdued after hearing your Blood and Thunder, Billy Sunday.
The sermon got to you, did it?
Sermon really got to me. It sure did. Well, we've got more with John Harmon in just a minute. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Visit us on the web and subscribe to our podcast at pianojazz.npr.org. You know, we haven't done a Duke Ellington tune. We ought to somehow fit one in, don't you think?
Absolutely. We can't pass up the opportunity to honor that legend, so I would be honored to do one.
Well, think of one that you like.
Well, I've always liked Do Nothing Until You Hear From Me. It's kind of an unusual piece, but it's really
cool. Yeah, it kind of answers itself.
It
does. Back and forth.
It does.
Yeah, well, let's have a go at that one.
Okay.
That was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
It was really swinging. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
Oh, thank I loved
that was,
it.
That was more fun than I should be having, I guess.
I think you should have as much fun as you can possibly handle.
Well, I appreciate that. It has been just that, believe me.
Now, I had an idea that I'd improvise a little like a piano portrait of you. How does that strike you?
Oh, it would be wonderful. Thank you. I'd appreciate that.
Well, don't thank me. You may wind up cursing me at the end. It may not sound like you at all.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be wonderful.
Anyway, I'm going to try that.
Okay. Thank you. was very moving. If I look like that, I'm better looking than I thought I was.
You're a nicer guy than you thought.
That's very sweet. I'm very touched.
Well, the first person to give me an idea of doing that was Chick Corea. And he did one. And I remember I said to him, when you're doing it, leave my nose out of it. And he did. Please.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful.
Oh, this is too much fun, actually.
Again, I would thank you with deep honor for having me here. And it's been such a privilege and such a joy. I thank you for sharing your generous time.
Thank you for sharing. That goes both ways. And I can't believe we're just to the end of the show and we have to find a tune. What are we going to wind up with for posterity?
Well, would you like to try How About You?
That's not only a good tune, I haven't played it for so long. Maybe it will sound better than if I was playing it every day.
Well, we'll see. Me too. I don't get to play this too often. For whatever reason, it has not been in my regular rotation.
We sound like we're copping out.
This is a great disclaimer, don't you think?
A great disclaimer. There's a title for it. Oh, boy. Okay, well, I don't know the tempo on this one, or you pick the tempo. We'll just find out.
We'll find out
where it goes by just playing it.
I suppose.
what could be more fitting for the ending.
I agree. That was great. Wonderful.
I loved every minute of it.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland. Her guest today has been John Harmon. Join us each week at this time as Marian welcomes other outstanding artists for conversation and improvisation. Piano Jazz is recorded at Manhattan Beat Studios in New York City and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio.